From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jessica Yellen, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. President Obama is set to forge ahead alone on immigration reform. Now, Washington is bracing for a collision. Republicans accuse the president of poisoning the well and warn of a government shutdown. But Democrats say the border crisis demands immediate action. At the heart of it all, millions of people caught in legal limbo. This hour, On Point, the battle over immigration reform. You can join us on air or online. Should the president go it alone, or is that exactly the wrong move? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining us first from Miami is Alan Gomez. He covers Latin America and immigration for USA Today. Alan, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jessica.
So will you give us just the top headlines of this expected executive order? What are the key elements?
So the president is considering doing a broad unilateral action where he, acting without Congress, is planning to protect up to 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 million undocumented immigrants from deportation. He did this a couple of years ago with younger undocumented immigrants, and this would be an expansion of that program. And as you were mentioning at the top there, this is obviously being received with some very, very intense criticism by Republicans on the Hill. They're threatening everything from impeachment to a lawsuit to more practically trying to stop this through funding bills through Congress. So this is expected to happen sometime in the next couple of weeks. And if that happens, yeah, you can pretty much expect Washington to blow up.
You know, the president had suggested he was going to do this executive order months ago. Why is he doing it now?
So he's been talking about doing this for quite some while. At first, he kind of delayed it because he said he wanted to give Congress some time to pass their own version of an immigration bill. He says he prefers that tact. He wants them to do it. He wants them to fix the system. But he said, I want to give them time to do it. But if they don't, he would act on his own. Then he set an end of summer deadline, saying if that's it, he'd waited long enough, he's going to do it by the end of the summer. Then he started receiving a bunch of calls from Democrats who were facing some pretty heated re-election battles, saying, please don't do this. This is really going to make it that much harder for us to win. It's going to really rile up the other side of the debate. And so we're worried that it's going to hurt us. So he delayed it once again. And now he says he's going to do it by the end of the calendar year. We're hearing that it could come anytime in the next couple of weeks. But he's saying that enough is enough. This is the time that he needs to do it.
Okay. Alan, I want you to hold on just one moment, if you would, and we'll bring in Steve Shulman, who works with women and children who are now living in detention centers on the border. He's actually in San Antonio and headed to a detention center today. Hi, Steve. Thanks for coming on.
Hello, Jessica.
So can you tell us, Steve, what does it look like on the ground?
The Obama administration, there's this fallacy that they have been soft on immigration and far from it from what we see on the ground. I have worked for the last several months at the Carnes City Detention Center, which is housing women and children, young children, in a detention center that was never set up for families in rural Texas, helping to make sure that they get adequate legal representation. These are women who have fled from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, fleeing from gang violence and domestic violence of horrific kinds. Many of these women, the majority of them, have passed what's called a credible fear interview, meaning that the asylum office has found that they have a significant possibility of proving relief from removal. In other words, that they deserve and merit protection here. So there's a real misnomer or misconception that the Obama administration has been soft on immigration when, if you look at it from the angle of a woman and child, say, for example, my client, Yenny, who's not her real name, by the way, who's detained in Carnes. She's been detained there for 3 months now, living in a room of eight people total, not a lot of freedom or space, hard to make phone calls out from there, incredibly expensive. And she and her daughter made the perilous journey, her eight-year-old daughter made the perilous journey from the capital of Honduras, where her daughter was threatened with rape and she was threatened with murder because she wouldn't pay the gangs, basically extortion, and made her way all the way here, got to our border. And when she crossed the border, looked for and was hoping to find a border agent, which is, again, another one of the misconceptions. Over the summer, when there was this surge of Central Americans, there was a sense, if only we can put more people at the border and make sure that, somehow we stop this surge. Well, the surge is coming not because we are inviting people up, not because we're welcoming them with open arms, because of what's going on in their home countries.
Okay, I'd like to ask you to just pause there for one moment, Steve. And Alan, can I ask you, does this square with what you're seeing at the border?
I mean, no, absolutely. That what we've seen over the course of this year has really been the number of people crossing the border has consistently remained pretty heavy. What's different about this year is that we're seeing a lot more minors that are coming by themselves, and that's this rush from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. There's been over 60,000 of them from those countries that have come in this year. And so traditionally, it's been more of an adult population that's been crossing the border. And now, because they've been mostly minors who've been traveling by themselves or with a coyote or just with someone with an adult who's not their parent, that's what's caused a lot of consternation throughout the sort of immigration enforcement community throughout the course of the summer.
So, Steve, let me put this to you. What kind of legal experiences do these women and children have, and how easy is it to work the system?
Well, it's certainly not easy at all to work it if you don't have a lawyer. And that's one of the key things here, is that these women, as a matter of international and U.S. law, merit a chance to show that they deserve protection. We cannot simply turn these people away at the border. The law requires both our treaty obligations under the Refugee Convention and also the U.S. Refugee Act require us to screen people, determine if they are at risk of harm if they go home, and then do a multi-step determination of whether they merit protection under our asylum laws or under something called the Convention Against Torture. As you might imagine, that involves several steps of legal process, none of which are easy to navigate alone, particularly for a relatively unsophisticated person from another country who doesn't speak our language, doesn't understand our legal system. It's virtually impossible for somebody to come up and make it through by themselves without the assistance of a lawyer.
Do you think, Steve, an executive action is going to make the situation better?
That's a real wild card, and we have definitely been thinking of that, those of us who work as pro bono lawyers down here in Texas and in New Mexico as well, where there's another large detention center, and whether or not the heat gets off of this population, because the truth is this population is not particularly large in the scope of large immigration surges. When you're talking about 12 million people, 70,000 is not a large number, and we're certainly hoping that there is a more systemic effort, and really Congress needs to look at all of this. At the end of the day, the Obama administration can do what they're going to do, but it's not going to fix a broken system.
What do you think, Steve, that the women and children in the system that you work with would like to say to policymakers in Washington?
Well, I think what they'd like to say is, imagine that we are your wives, daughters, mothers, children, and think about how you would like our folks to be, or your relatives to be treated if they were to find themselves in an emergent situation. And I can guarantee you that if another country was treating our citizens the way that we treat these citizens, we would not take it lying down.
All right, Steve. Thanks for that. And Alan, let me ask you this. One of the concerns is that if the president, this is what the critics say, if the president does an executive action, it will actually encourage more people to cross the border. Alan, based on your reporting, is this something that you think bears out?
I mean, that's exactly why critics of the administration are saying that the first thing we need to do before we think about legalizing anybody, about giving them a temporary reprieve, is securing the border. The fear is that what happened in 1986, this is the example that they cite most often. That's the last time Congress really addressed this situation, when they legalized it was about 3 million undocumented immigrants who were living in the country at the time. And at the time, the promise was by President Reagan, by all of Congress, was we're going to do this and that's going to solve the system and everything's going to be fine and we're not going to deal with this again. Obviously, that wasn't the case. It's been wave after wave after wave of undocumented immigrants pouring into the country ever since. So they're saying that until we really get that border secured added by, you know, the president doing things like this, that it sends signals to Central America, to South America, that if you come, eventually they're going to bail you out. If you come illegally, eventually you're going to get some sort of status. So, I mean, it's pretty difficult to argue against that point.
And do you suspect, Alan, based on your conversations in Washington, that this is there's anything that could derail the president from issuing an executive order?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we saw him. He is getting heat from all sides right now. You know, obviously, I don't think so much it's the idea that Republicans are going to get mad at him. I mean, if he legalized 100 people tomorrow, I think they'd probably come out in force against him. So it's not necessarily that. But what could hold him up is the idea that, yes, if he holds out just maybe a couple more months, that maybe Congress will get together and start working
right
on
that's
this.
So Obama, isn't it? The president always thinks if you just give him a chance, he's going to make it come together against all odds.
Yeah, and you can imagine what immigration advocates, what many Democrats on the Hill are saying about that thought process. But that's, you know, I can tell you that's something that really that's going on inside the White House. That's a debate that they're having and wondering, man, they're going to get mad at us if we hold off one more time. But what if they do come back in January and start looking at this and really start tackling it? So it's a really difficult situation for
me. Let me ask you to hold for one moment. And Steve, I want to go back to you for a minute. And if you could just briefly answer this, do you think we're going to find a solution in the next year that'll make the situation easier for the folks you work with?
Well, I'm not a political seer, but I don't see that happening. That there's any way to fix this broken system. The immigration courts are horribly backlogged because of all the funding has been put on the border, and that's where I'll disagree with Alan. That the truth is, our border is very secure, and these women and children who are coming over are not trying to sneak in. They're going up to Border Patrol agents and saying, "I want protection."
Steve, thank you for your time. I'm afraid we're going to have to take a break here. But Steve Shulman, attorney with Akin Gump, joining us from the border. Thank you. I'm Jessica Yellen in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the immigration crisis in America. You can join the conversation. Do you have family or friends living here illegally? What does reform mean to you? Tightening the border, a path to citizenship, something else? With us is Alan Gomez, who covers immigration for USA Today. And now joining us also, Congressman Charlie Dent, a Pennsylvania Republican, who is joining us from Washington. Congressman Dent, hello.
So, hello, Jessica. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for being with us. You know, your party is struggling itself with some deep divisions, internal divisions, about how to respond to this expected executive order. What do you think the party should do?
Well, what I believe the party should do is, first let me say this, I do not agree with the president taking some kind of executive action here in the lame duck session. I think that would be, frankly, a provocative action. It would be unhelpful to dealing with the broader issue of immigration reform. So I believe what the Republican Party ought to do at some point is deal with this issue, but I've argued dealing with it on a step-by-step basis, dealing with immigration in a responsible manner, deal with border security, interior enforcement, you know, e-verify systems, agricultural workers, STEM workers, the children, as well as the unaccompanied children where we've had this crisis over the last several months, and then deal responsibly with the balance of the 11 or 12 million people who are here unlawfully. So I think when you deal with it on a step-by-step basis, I do believe that an executive action would make it much more difficult for Congress to enact some important reforms.
Well, some in your party are threatening to respond to any executive action with a shutdown, a lawsuit, impeachment. Would you support a shutdown?
No. I've been fairly outspoken on the matter that we ought to separate the president's impending executive action from the appropriations process. And it's important that we, as a Congress, that we pass an omnibus appropriations bill in December. You know, clear the decks this year, get that behind us, and then let us deal with immigration. And if there's an executive action by the president by then, let us deal with it then, but not as part of the appropriations process. Certainly, a government shutdown ought not be on the table.
But you know, there's a strong contingent in your party favoring that. How confident are you that you can avoid a shutdown?
I'm fairly confident. I think the House Republican leadership, you know, does not want to engage in that kind of a shutdown brinksmanship again. Look, I think that the president is... you know, look, he's trying to bait us into some kind of a reaction that we would end up shutting the government down. It's not going to happen. That would only, you know, shutting the government down would serve the president's interests, and you know, as Republicans, we should not take the bait. So I think it's pretty clear to me that that we're not going to. I don't think we're going to go down that road at all. I can't say it's off the table, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, you said earlier that you should take this piecemeal and that it should be done legislatively. The truth is, though, the House had, under Speaker Boehner, you guys had a chance to pass immigration reform last session. There was even a bill that Senator John McCain helped write that the House wouldn't even consider. So some say you've had a chance to take a whack at it and just skipped it. So
well,
the president...
We were going to deal with it. I think we're absolutely going to deal with it. And then, of course, what intervened somewhat unexpectedly was the unaccompanied child crisis down at the border. And that really ended up consuming much of our energy over the summertime, when I thought at that point we were going to deal with at least a few pieces of immigration reform. I thought we were going to deal with the high-tech workers. I thought at some point we were going to deal with the agricultural workers and a border security bill at the very least. And then came the unaccompanied children crisis, and then the Wilberforce Act. It needs to be.
So now you think the environment has shifted significantly enough that the Republican Congress will pass comprehensive immigration reform in the next session?
Like I said, I believe that we will look at a comprehensive process, not necessarily a comprehensive bill. That was one of the
right.
I think.
But even in pieces, you could do it in pieces.
Yes. Again, many Republicans, myself included, are very leery of taking up one big, large bill. Let's face it, our Congress has not had a good record in recent years of massive pieces of legislation. You know, the health care bill, let's face it, and even Dodd-Frank, these massive bills that seem to be incomprehensible to most folks is probably not the best way to proceed on immigration. That said, I mean, let's deal with it in digestible bits. And from a political standpoint, now, there are going to be people who, and you'll hear some folks who will say they're against any immigration reform, period, but it'll be harder for some of those folks maybe to vote against the agricultural piece or the skilled workers piece or the border security piece. But so if you do this in a comprehensive process, I mean, everybody then, I think, develops some ownership in at least some piece of immigration reform.
Congressman Dent, thank you so much. I heard you say there you hope there's no shutdown, but you can't guarantee us that there won't be one.
I don't believe there's going to be a shutdown. I mean, I really don't. I don't think there's an appetite for it. So
we hope you're right.
Okay.
Thanks so much for taking the time today, Congressman Dent from Washington. I want to bring two more voices into the conversation now. Joining us from Seattle, Washington, is Jacob Vigdor, professor of public affairs at the University of Washington's Evans School and author of From Immigrants to Americans, The Rise and Fall of Fitting In. Jacob, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jessica. It's great to be here.
And from Washington, Ali Nourani, executive director of the National Immigration Forum, a pro-immigration reform advocacy group. Ali, welcome to you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jessica.
So, Jacob, I just want to start with you quickly. You heard the congressman say there that he doesn't think that there will be a shutdown, but the executive order is the wrong way to go. Has President Obama done exactly the wrong thing and stymied any hopes of, if he does this, is he stymieing any hopes of legislation?
I'd say that there are a lot of people like myself who, as recently as a year and a half ago, had this real hope that some kind of immigration reform was going to go through the regular process. And when we see actions like the executive action that Obama is threatening or proposing, it makes your heart heavy a little bit, because you realize that this is not the way that the entire problem is going to get solved. And that the undocumented immigrants that are the focus of this action are one part of the problem. But I think that if you listen to what Congressman Dent said, there are many facets to this problem, and there was a chance that we could cobble together a coalition to look at various parts of this, and it seems like the likelihood of that happening is declining.
Ali, let me put it to you. First, how likely do you think it is the president does issue this executive action? Maybe it's all a threat.
Well, I mean, given the amount of pressure that the president is getting from the community, Hispanic and Asian community members across the country would really like to see the president move forward and protect families from deportations. But also, I mean, there are parts of the business sector, growers, builders. I mean, there was a builder, a large construction builder in Houston, Stan Merrick, who wrote a very powerful op-ed in the Houston Chronicle over the weekend calling for executive action. And, you know, he's no shrinking violet liberal. I mean, this is a guy who's a true blue conservative who's saying, you know what, we need a fix on the ground. So I think that the president will act because reality is that the system is broken and it's undermining our economy, our security, and the families in our communities.
I want to remind everyone, Alan Gomez is also with us from USA Today. And Alan, if you'll stand by and take a listen, I want to bring in some callers to hear what people are thinking about this executive action. And if you could respond to this. David is calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for letting me speak. I think the notion that I do understand the idea that putting, sort of like Congressman Dent was saying, piecemeal legislation that addresses various aspects of this, that's really positive. I understand that. But the notion that the president taking executive action could somehow poison the well almost seems ludicrous. The Republicans promised to make the well toxic as soon as the president was elected. And since then, they've done just that. They've prevented him from doing various sort of run-of-the-mill actions that any president would do. And, I don't think that given the, Congress's track record in the past few years, that anyone should think that they're going to do anything productive anytime soon. And this is an issue that begs to be dealt with.
That is so true. David, thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but we want to keep moving on. Here's some other points of view. David calling from Atlanta, Georgia, thank you. He believes executive action is an acceptable move by the president. John calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, John. Do you have a different take on this?
Yes. Hello, Jessica, and thanks for taking my comment. If we wish to avoid another Affordable Care Act type of misfortune, it is crucial to have a thorough and candid discussion about some important issues before taking executive or legislative action on immigration. These would include the issue of population sustainability, the impact of immigration on our own minority communities, its impact on income distribution, and the ethnic cleansing of American blacks by Hispanic gangs.
All right, some strong points of view. John from Ann Arbor, Michigan, thanks for calling. Alan Gomez from USA Today, isn't this precisely the problem? There are just so many different points of view on this and so passionate and emotional. Is there a middle ground in America on immigration reform?
Well, I think there is. And I think to the point that both David and John were making, and this goes back to what Representative Dent was saying, is these are all very complicated, very difficult discussions to have. You could take any part of immigration legislation, and it's a very complicated, it's very in-depth, and it's something that needs to be debated very carefully in our Congress. And I think the problem is, as the congressman said, they'd like to do it piecemeal. They had a chance. Last summer, the departments, the committees of Judiciary and Homeland Security in the House passed out a series of step-by-step bills, one looking at border security, looking at high-tech visas, looking at lower-skilled visas, looking at a lot of different changes in the immigration system. They all passed through committee. They had very intense debate over these issues. But Boehner never brought them to the floor.
Right.
They sat there for a year and a half, and they never acted on them. So I think that's the frustration that you see from the White House and that you see from a lot of people saying, okay, you say you want to do this, but we're sitting here waiting and you haven't done anything. So I think that's the frustration.
Well, Jacob, would you respond to that, Jacob Vigdor? Did Speaker Boehner sort of miss the chance on this?
I think the way that you want to think about the Republican Party on immigration, it's kind of like a dysfunctional family around the Thanksgiving table. And immigration is one of those bits of conversation that you don't want to come up at the Thanksgiving table because you know that someone's going to leave the table unhappy. And the one thing that really unites Republicans these days is the idea that they don't like what Obama is doing. And I think this makes it a very difficult environment to bring people together and get a controversial piece of legislation to the floor.
But may I interrupt you just for a moment? Because
sure.
Now that they're in charge of Congress coming up, it's not just about opposing Obama. It's about leading. It's about proposing ideas that can pass and taking positions that might upset the Thanksgiving dinner. So do you think the Republicans are now positioned to lead on this issue and ready to?
Well, I think that the first thing they're going to have to do is figure out their own strategy on this, because you have voices within the Republican Party advocating everything from open borders to just a focus on security with no other actions taken. And getting people to compromise, ultimately, if we're going to get something done, it's going to involve compromise. It's going to involve nobody getting exactly what they want, everybody making concessions and working that way. And, you know, if you look at the periods of history where Congress has actually managed to get controversial pieces of legislation passed, that's kind of the way it worked. But I think that there are factors within the Republican Party and factors within the national conversation that are kind of making it difficult this time around.
Ali, how do you what's your pulse on the mood in Washington right now in the Republican Party? Do you talk to these policymakers all the time? You've been in that world for years, I know. Do you get the sense that the next Congress is poised to pass some kind of legislation that the president will sign and let him crumple up his executive order as he said he would?
Well, I think Republicans have just an enormous opportunity in 2015. And so, you know, looking back over the last 5 years, let's say, every time we went and sat down with a Republican member of Congress, leadership or rank and file, one of the first things they would say is that, you know what, I want to do immigration reform, but I don't want to give the president credit for doing it. Okay, well, it's Washington, D.C. It's a land of, you know, where things come screeching to a halt. But if this is about credit, in 2015, Republicans can actually get credit for fixing the system. In fact, they have two options. They can get credit for passing legislation. If it needs to be piece by piece, let's get it done. But they can get credit for fixing the system, or they can get credit for dismantling whatever the president does. From a political perspective, in terms of being able to engage Hispanic voters, Asian voters, moderate voters, business, faith, law enforcement, people want to see Congress and Republicans get credit for actually fixing a problem, not dismantling
but
what the president's going to do.
May I interrupt you for a moment? You know, polling shows that most Americans want immigration reform, but not necessarily a path to citizenship. And so are the Republicans sort of listening to public opinion if they do immigration reform mainly focused on the border?
But, I mean, the majority of Americans want people who are undocumented to be brought out of the shadows, pass a criminal background check, pay their taxes, and get on a road to legal status and eventually citizenship. That's what the polling shows. Starting and stopping at border security does not solve the problem. It does not meet the demands and the needs of the vast majority of Americans. And that's really the opportunity that Republicans have, is to meet the needs of the vast majority of Americans who know an undocumented immigrant because they, you know, go to church with that person. Their children go to school with their children. I mean, this is an incredibly personal issue for so many people. That's why the solution is so badly needed.
Ali, are you worried at all that an executive order could actually put people who are here in the country in a new kind of limbo, that it could be reversed by a future president and these people come out of the shadows and then they could be in real danger in the future for being deported?
Well, I think there's always the devil's always in the details. And I think we're all waiting with bated breath in terms of what the administration is going to do. So it's, you know, again, this comes down to the next Congress. They have the opportunity to take what the president does and make it better and make it permanent, and for Republicans to get credit for doing so. And then in 2016, whoever is president can look back and say, you know what, this is a problem that's been addressed, and you know, and we are grateful for the leadership of Republicans in Congress to get us past this very, very difficult finish line.
Alan Gomez, briefly, your degree of confidence that the next Congress will pass some sort of legislation on this? Prediction. Every reporter hates prognosticating.
No, and especially especially on this issue. I mean, if the president goes ahead and does this, I don't think we're going to get to an impeachment vote. I really don't think that lawsuit that Boehner's talking about is going to happen. But that funding battle could very well happen. We might not get to that point of a shutdown, but we're going to get close.
This is On Point. I'm Jessica Yellen, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the White House's plan to go it alone on immigration reform. Is executive action the only way for this president to get things done? Do you approve? My guests are Alan Gomez, who covers immigration and Latin America for USA Today, Jacob Vigdor, professor of public affairs at the University of Washington's Evans School, and Ali Nourani, executive director of the National Immigration Forum. Gentlemen, I'd love for you to stand by and to hear a little bit about what listeners are thinking on this issue. David, hi, I understand you're calling from Nashville, Tennessee. What are your thoughts on immigration reform?
Hi, Jessica. Sitting here listening to the conversation, I think that the problem that I see here is that there's a complete paradigm shift. There's a complete shift in context in the way that the media is presenting and I guess, characterizing the issue. You yourself said that the Republican Congress will be in a position to lead. Well, I guess that's the problem, is that they're not in a position to lead because they're not placed there to lead. They're placed there to represent the wishes of the American people. And with all due respect to Mr. Gomez, the polls do not show. I mean, I deal with this every single day. There are no polls that show that the American public is clamoring for, quote unquote, comprehensive immigration reform. You ask three people what that is and you'll get five different answers.
What's your experience dealing with this? You say you deal with it every day?
I work with the issue of policy formulation every day, and we deal with this issue. And using the analogy one of your guests used, the family around the dinner table, what you have is that this issue would never come up at the dinner table, and then you have somebody coming in from outside who brings it up, and then there's a clamor. I mean, this is a wedge issue. It's a divisive issue. And the only way, let's face it, the only way, reason that this is being presented is to be divisive. It is to cause a wedge issue to pit American against American.
Thank you, David, for the call. It is an emotional issue, that's for sure, but also one that it does seem needs a quick and a response. So let's hear from Jeff, calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jessica. Yeah, I have to disagree heartily with the previous caller. I think it's a huge issue across this country because we've got, you know, between 14 and I don't know how many million illegal aliens in our society working and living and children going to school. It's a huge issue, and I don't think it's a wedge issue. I think it's an important issue. I agree and support President Obama's moving forward with an executive action because, as exemplified by the representative you had on earlier, Congress is just dysfunctional and unable to move forward in a significant way, and legislation has been before them for years. And what we've had over the last decade of focus on safety and the border enforcement has resulted in tens of millions of illegal aliens here.
All
what
right.
I think we should do is allow them to be identified and allowed to work here, but not guarantee a path to citizenship. Most of the Hispanic and illegal aliens that I know in Nashville want to be safe.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff, for your take from Nashville. A lot of different points of view. Jacob Vigdor, I just want to clarify this. There's a lot of discussion about the polling, and Pew Research Center says 61% of Americans believe it's important to pass meaningful immigration legislation this year, but a majority do not agree that it necessarily includes a path to citizenship. There might be a different way to make people here legal, but not necessarily citizens. So what do you think is the compromise position? What is the view the GOP can get behind on this issue?
I think that if I were going to adopt a strategy on this, I would start out – I mean, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the hour about the situation with this recent surge in immigrants, many of them children, coming without their parents from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. There are lots of concerns about conditions on the ground in those countries. And here is a little issue. Now, you know, 60 to 70,000 people in a group of 12 million, that is a small group, but it's a group that everybody can kind of get behind. Maybe we could start out by saying, let's pass a bill addressing this situation, because this situation is not going to generate as many divisions as a debate about a group of people that's 100 to 200 times larger. Let's start with this little thing.
Your
and
proposal
get something
then is to start with the unaccompanied minors and mothers rather than taking on immigration and the 11 million.
The way that you do it, and you know, and I should preface this by saying I haven't been elected to anything since I was in high school, so I'm not necessarily a political expert.
Sometimes those are the best people to come up with the answers.
Well, I like to think so. But what I would say is let's start with something that's less controversial. And if you're going to do it piecemeal, that's a first piece. Okay.
Okay. Let me ask you to pause right there, sure, because that's an interesting idea. I want to take a listen for a moment to John McCain, the Arizona senator who has stood for an immigration compromise for many years. He was speaking with NBC and he begged President Obama to back off an executive action.
I literally am pleading with the President of the United States not to act. Give it a chance. We've got a new Congress. We've got a new mandate. Let's let the House of Representatives decide whether they want to move forward on immigration reform or not. It'll be a devastating blow if he acts unilaterally with executive order.
And then Speaker John Boehner also chimed in on this issue, saying, look, they need to act. But he warned the president in no uncertain terms that the president would regret unilateral action.
Our immigration system is broken and it needs to be fixed. But I've made clear to the president that if he acts unilaterally on his own, outside of his authority, he will poison the well and there will be no chance for immigration reform moving in this Congress. It's as simple as that. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to go down this path.
Ali Noorani, executive director of the National Immigration Forum. Look, are you surprised at all the president's doing this? He himself has been saying for more than a year now that taking unilateral action might be against the law, that he did not have the authority to do it. What's changed?
Well, I think what's changed is what's missing in the political debate at this point. What's changed is that I think the president has realized that a broken immigration system is affecting families and communities across the country. And that's what's missing in this political debate. Everything we're talking about right now is process and politics. But let's go back to the 2012 announcement of deferred action for childhood arrivals, the DACA. The day of DACA, the DACA announcement, there were pictures across the country of immigrant families with tears of joy because their children would be safe. Now, let's fast forward sometime over the next few weeks when the president makes this announcement. What's going to happen is that the same thing, immigrant families will be incredibly happy. But the same thing will happen in 2 months that happened after DACA, is that across the country, nannies, housekeepers, landscapers, members of people's churches will come forward and say, I am protected because of what the president did, and I used to be undocumented. What will happen is that the undocumented will have a face, and they'll have a name, and they will be people that we all know. And then that's the opportunity for Congress and for John Boehner and Mitch McConnell to take advantage of that support of the public and pass a bill.
So I hear what you're saying in terms of the politics of it. My question is, 3 months ago, the president said this was an illegal action I'm paraphrasing, but essentially illegal for him to take an executive action. Now he says that's not the case.
Well, I think my sense of what they're going to be looking at is an expansion of prosecutorial discretion. Now, I think it was, 2010 or 11, where at that point, the ICE director, John Morton, issued a memo.
ICE is the Immigration Service.
Great. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Sorry about that. And what they said is that in order to prioritize our law enforcement resources, our federal law enforcement resources, we are going to focus on public safety and national security threats. And those who meet X, Y, and Z criteria, they will not be a priority. So my sense is that the administration will look at their law enforcement resources, the priorities, and continue to clarify the criteria in terms of who they are going to pursue with incredible vigor, and those who they will say, you know what, we will defer action on your deportation if you come forward.
We have people who've written in on our website. One person, Ed75, says this executive action is clearly beyond the president's authority. It endangers our liberty if the president has the authority to not enforce laws as he or she chooses. Others say that it doesn't matter where you're from. The imaginary lines that separate us are just that, imaginary, and supports this action. Jacob Vigdor, we just heard John Boehner say if the president does this, he's going to he's setting a fire and he will get burned. You take the Republicans' view on immigration reform. What do you think Speaker Boehner means?
I think that What's really going on, I think if you get people behind closed doors one-on-one and ask them, do you want something to happen, probably a lot of people say yes. The issue is we talked about this earlier. The issue is who's going to take the lead on this? Who's going to get credit for it? To the extent that President Obama becomes the champion of reform and he wants to do it his way, which is addressing – I thought it was very interesting that Obama's action is going to address undocumented immigrants first. And I agree that that's a big issue. But if we talk – if you think back to the way Congressman Dent phrased immigration reform, he put the undocumented last. That was the last thing he mentioned, and border security came first. So there are disagreements about what is the right order to do things in, and I think there's also a question of credit that if to the extent that this becomes an Obama administration initiative, there are a lot of people for whom that's a deal breaker.
So funny. You're the second person now to say it's all about who gets the credit for this. Let's listen for a moment to President Obama talking over the weekend about his possible decision to act alone on this, saying he has the constitutional authority, but what it means if he does issue an executive order.
We'd like to see them being able, out in the open, to pay their taxes, pay a penalty, get right with the law. Give me a bill that addresses those issues. I'll be the first one to sign it, and metaphorically, I'll crumple up whatever executive actions that we take, and we'll toss them in the wastebasket, because we will now have a law that addresses these issues.
Alan Gomez, you cover immigration reform for USA Today. You know, I covered the White House for years, and you know Washington incredibly well. So do you think this is President Obama's it's sort of a move to force the Republican Congress to tackle immigration reform next year? Is that the hope here?
I think that's part of it, but I think part of it is also him just saying, you know, enough is enough. I mean, he's really wanted to do something on this. He's listed immigration as a priority since day one. He couldn't get it through the first couple of years when he had the Democratic Congress. Obviously, he hasn't been able to get it through a Republican Congress ever since. And so I think this is sort of, I really do think it's something that he feels he's wanted to do for a very long time. And he feels that it's incumbent on him to really get something done before he leaves office. But I want to make one point that we're talking quite a bit about the authority that he has to do this. And if I could just really quickly just kind of lay something out here, just to understand. Congress has written laws saying that the executive branch has to enforce immigration and deport people who are here illegally. But Congress has also written laws saying that the Department of Homeland Security, who oversees all of this, has the discretion to decide where to focus its resources. So think of it like the FBI. They used to go after bank robbers quite a bit. 9/11 happens. Okay, now we're focused on terrorism. And so I think what the president is arguing is saying, look, we're still deporting people. We're carrying out the will of Congress. But what we're going to do is instead just focus on a different group of people, focus on people who are criminals, focus on people who are getting here recently, and then formalizing this and saying, okay, so the rest of you guys, you're all good.
Right. So it's a great explanation. It's sort of an executive order that gives new direction to the agencies on who is the priority for deportation and who's not. Let's take a call for a moment. Becky is calling from Austin, Texas. Hi, Becky. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jessica. Well, I guess unlike some of the callers from other parts of the country, this issue is just really real for everyone that I know here. I know folks on the border, and the last time there was a bill in Congress and it failed, there was just such a deep sadness both among lawful immigrants and citizens and undocumented folks because, you know, they have family on both sides of the border and, you know, and people just live in constant fear, the undocumented people of deportation. And you know, everybody's affected here. We all know DACA kids. We all know undocumented immigrants. The business community is dependent on immigrant workers. So, I mean, it's a very real issue here, and I think that Obama just needs to act because a lot of the Congress people, their constituents, they're motivated by fear that's not based in reality.
Thank you, Becky, for calling. And just to remind everyone, DACA stands for this policy that let the kids who people who came here as children stay in the U.S. For at least a period of time legally. you know, I wanted to ask both Jacob Vigdor and Ali Noorani about the question we can't avoid, which is the politics of this and the Latino vote coming up in the next election. Jacob, to you first, do the Republicans have to tackle this issue if they're going to take on the White House because they need to win a greater share of the Latino vote than they've seen in the past?
I think that there are certainly quite a few voices within the Republican Party that are very aware of demographic trends. I think if you take someone like Marco Rubio out of Florida, that's definitely reality for them. They've got to take that into account. And you know, if you think about what's going on here a little bit, executive orders happen all the time, and they don't necessarily happen with all that much fanfare. But there's a sense in which this potential executive order is really being amplified to play up this issue. And I think that there is a calculated play going on.
Let me just interrupt there. Ali, let's get your point in here. Would you rather see this executive action over nothing? Is it better than nothing?
Well, executive action is far from ideal, but it's the cards that have been dealt. And I think Republicans, they can play their hand in a strategic way and get credit for passing reform next year.
All right. Thanks to all of you. Jacob Vigdor is professor of public affairs at the University of Washington's Evans School. Jacob, it was great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Jessica. It's great to be here.
Ali Noorani from the executive director of the National Immigration Forum. Ali, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, thank you, Jessica.
And Alan Gomez covers immigration in Latin America for USA Today. Alan, thanks so much for your time as well.
Thank you.
And you all can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can follow us on Twitter or find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow on Point, you're supposed to have a clean slate after bankruptcy, but that's not always the case. We'll look at what's going on. I'm Jessica Yellen in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.